Guest and Richard Manson's with me as always on a Monday, event producer with Flying Elephant. And we have the author Jay DeWilde joining us. Jay resided in Dubai for a few years. She's a regular visitor to Dubai, and she's written her first novel, The Thinking Tank, and it's a great read and getting lots of acclaim on Amazon. I think it, where is it at now? I mean, last month it was at 48, wasn't it, on the women's fiction list?
Yeah, that's right. Well, the highest it's been to my knowledge, although obviously these things come and go, is 27.
Excellent.
Last I looked, it was 55. So, you know, it keeps...
So you're up there with the Jamie Olivers and...
Well, funnily enough, it went straight in on the independent booksellers chart at number 33, and it was literally just behind Jamie Oliver. Wow, I never thought I'd be on the same page. And I think when I looked yesterday, Jodi Picoult was at number 42. And again, oh gosh, on the same page as Jodi Picoult. This just is bonkers. So.
Well, it's fantastic, isn't it? And, you know, so many people, don't they, Richard, will go, I want to write a book. I'm going to write a book. Before I die, I will write a book. And so, and we don't get round to it. And for all the best, well, and some people may try and may write, and others just think about wouldn't it be great to write a book? But you did it. You actually did it. It was something you really nurtured from an early age. You knew that you wanted to write, but you actually, your life took you in another direction. So let's look at those early years. You grew up in London, I think. Whereabouts
right.
in London?
I was on the border of Battersea and Wandsworth, a sort of, I would say, the industrial wasteland of London, really, because it wasn't posh in those days. I mean, it's wonderfully posh now. As soon as I moved out of it, it started going up in the world.
But I had that with Clapham.
Well, yeah, absolutely, just up the road, so you know exactly what I mean then. But you know, it was an interesting time to grow up then. I used to go to school in central London to a school called Greycoat Hospital. I used to travel across London, would you believe, on two buses and a mile-long walk on my own.
Right.
Which now you think, oh my goodness, couldn't possibly let a child do that. But from the age of 11, that's what I did. So... grew up there, then went down to Bristol University, and at Bristol I did French and German, lots of it literature, for a degree. And then after that, I wanted to write, always wanted to write, hence the interest in literature. Wrote a lot when I was at school, helped run school magazine, all that kind of thing. Thought it would be a good career to go into, but people kept saying, well, actually, you know, it's difficult, hard to find the jobs, not steady
huge
work.
Disappointment, insecurity.
Yes, and I think if you don't believe in yourself sufficiently, which, well, let's face it, very rarely do people of 18, 20 believe in themselves to the degree of being able to go against their parents and their teachers and do something you really want to do. In the end, I did actually go into education to start with, and I absolutely loved it. I had loads of really good experiences teaching children French and German. Don't regret that a bit, but kept my writing going at the same time. Used to write for various publications, mostly on the education side, it has to be said, but nevertheless, it's wonderful expressing yourself, getting your work out there, whatever. Mm. It wasn't until a bit later that I went into writing full-time, and actually... applied for a job, didn't think I'd get it, as a copywriter with Travelsphere Holidays, Page & Moy, the travel company in the UK. Did get it and was very quickly promoted to editor, which was the most amazing thing. So that gave me the chance to write full-time for a living. Still wanted to write a novel, but actually when you're looking after a family, when you're writing for a living, it is actually very difficult to be able to write in your off time, as it were.
Exactly, and that's always the thing, isn't it? If you, you know, you need to bring the pennies in, and you know, you've got, and often the writing is that time. It's being able to allow even, you know, 2 or 3 years to nurture that talent, unless you're very, very lucky.
Or you're J.K. Rowling, of course. She managed to do everything, didn't she? And hats off to her, really, because I'd love to have been her.
And she did it in a coffee shop as
she
well
did.
In Edinburgh.
It's obviously something about the coffee shops.
But there's also something about sort of putting pen to paper. You've got to have that confidence, because otherwise there's a little thing in the back of your head going, am I wasting my time? Could I be putting my time to better use than actually, you know, really thinking that I'm going to be published or this is good enough? So it takes real confidence, and that's, I would have thought, a huge step once you actually do start and you do start actually writing the book, to sort of validate the time that you're putting aside.
Yeah, actually, and also to be fair, to do that sort of thing when you're the person who has to be bringing the pennies in is incredibly difficult. And I was in a fortunate situation because my husband's job had brought us here to Dubai, which meant that I was able to write for me, to write without even a thought of being published. I just feel incredibly blessed to have found somebody who actually wanted to publish my work. But when I started out with it, I was doing it because it was a project that had always been tapping me on the shoulder, that I'd always wanted to do. So there was no thought of a publisher. It was just putting it out there, doing my best on paper for me, maybe for a few friends if they really wanted to read it. It was that kind of thought.
And clearly the timing was right for you in that sense, that you were in a place where you felt you could write, you were in a position where you could write, you had some support, so you were able to do that. But the road that took you to that point hadn't been an easy road for you personally. You'd been through a great loss, a bereavement, and also ill health as well. So let's go back to the 90s, and you're living in the UK, you're living in Rutland, near Oakham in Leicestershire. Now, this is where our story slightly parallels, because a friend of yours here in Dubai brought me to you to my attention. She contacted me and asked if I'd be interested in interviewing you, and it was just off the back of the book, The Thinking Tank. I thought, this is an interesting book. The fact that you wrote it in Dubai, this is of interest. This will be of interest to my listeners. So we got in touch with each other, and we took it from there. And it was only a few emails down the line that I realised that you were living in Stamford in Lincolnshire, which is near Rutland, where I grew up. And then I told you that. You said, well, actually, look at my backstory. And then I started to read your backstory. And not only was it that we had lived in the same place, in the same county, we'd actually lived in the same village, which, if you get your head round this, Rutland is the smallest county in England, where I come from, and I grew up in a village called Langham, which is a tiny, beautiful, rural village in the county of Rutland. And that's where you were living in the 90s with your family.
It is absolutely extraordinary, but don't you think sometimes, Suzanne, the universe works like
this? Yeah, yeah.
Part of the theme of my story is that perhaps there is no such thing as coincidence, that people are brought together and that things happen for a jolly good reason, and here we are, as you say. But it's even more poignant than that, as far as I see it, because, as you know, part of my backstory is the fact that my daughter, Rowena, died of sudden adult death syndrome in January 99. And the most extraordinary thing about the fact that we both lived in the same village in Rutland is the fact that my daughter is, in fact, buried in the churchyard there. And you will remember the churchyard really well.
It's a beautiful churchyard. I spent my childhood walking past that church every single day to go to school. My house, my family home, is in Church Street. So, you know, and it's such a beautiful church. And when you said to me, I know, interestingly, when I come across people from Rutland, I don't usually say Langham. I usually say Oakham, the county town.
Yeah, because people don't necessarily know about
exactly.
It.
But for some reason that day, I told you that I grew up in Langham, and I told you where my brother lived and where my mom lives now. And you came back and went, oh my gosh, I've got goosebumps, because that's where we lived and that's where Rowena is buried. So it's an extraordinary coincidence. So to explain what happened to you and your family at that time, in 1999, in January, when you lost Rowena, you have another daughter as well. When we come back, we're going to hear the story more and get an understanding of what loss can mean and how one can overcome that kind, if you can ever overcome that kind of loss.